Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos, filling in for Sam Shad. Today, we're going to be talking to Senator Heidi Ganser on education and energy, plus our Power Pundit panel on President Trump's Supreme Court pick. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Senator Heidi Ganser. Senator, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah. always good to have you, Heidi. And it's always good. It's good to have you back. I mean, you were elected in 2004 to the Assembly. You matriculated up to the leader of the Assembly caucus, then decided to become the governor's chief of staff. Did that for, what,
two years?
And great. I mean, you were always great to work with in the governor's office. I miss you being there, but glad that you made it back to the Senate. What do you see has changed in your different roles and over the ensuing years?
It's great to have perspective both from the legislative branch and the executive branch. And what I've seen since 2004 is a growth of partisanships, unfortunately. And I think some
much
of that,
more like Washington, D.C.
Right. It's leaning that way. I don't think it's that extreme, but it's kind of been going that way. And I've always found a way to work across the aisle and be very respectful of both parties and actually the different branches of government, too. So, you know, if you aren't throwing the partisan rhetoric out there all the time, there's a lot of people who are willing to work on topics that you can agree upon. So, you know, it is more difficult, but you can be successful if you really just work on good policy.
So when you look at the Senate this time, you're in the minority party. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is there a chance that the Republicans could take the majority this time? Do you see a path to victory, or do you think you're going to be in the minority again this next session?
You know, it's very difficult because of the seats that are up, so we may end up in the minority. I think we're going to give it our best try. There are three seats that we're fighting hard to win that are critical, and those would bring us to 10. But, you know, you just never know. You never know about turnout. Turnout's critically important because sometimes you have years where you have a strong Republican turnout, which can flip some seats unexpectedly.
So are you seeing a blue wave? I mean, everybody's talking about a blue wave. Do you think we're going to have a blue wave here in the Silver State?
I'm not sure if we're going to have that or not. I think there's a lot of Republicans who like the direction that we've been heading and want to go out and support candidates. And we've got some big races up. We have a U.S. Senate race that's up. We've got the governor's race that's up. And, particularly with the governor's race, if there are minorities of Republicans in both houses, it's critical to have a check on that. So just going back to the sort of the fundamentals of our government, having a check on the different branches of government is very important. And so I think, having Adam Laxalt in is important.
Well, and you actually got to introduce Adam Laxalt
when he did his acceptance speech, accepting the nomination, you know, on the 12th of June.
Right. You know, I've been working with Adam. I think he's a tremendous candidate, will be a very strong governor, and we need to have the balance of power. And, you know, I think Nevadans are very independent. They're fiercely independent, and they like small government. So
do you think that's changing? I mean, are we seeing a geographic change, do you think? I mean, I'm an Elko kid. I mean, the world of Elko is much different than the world, even in Reno, definitely in Las Vegas. Do you think we're seeing kind of a shift, you know, between the folks that want to have a smaller government, more of that independent individual base, to more of a kind of urban, big government's good?
Well, so I think our demographics are definitely evolving. We have so many people moving into our communities up here in Northern Nevada, as well as Clark County. We're some of the highest growth counties and highest growth state in the nation. So I think it's evolving, but I do believe that there are people who want to make sure that we have limited government and limited reach. So.
And do you think those are the people that are fleeing California who still have who want those, you know, leaving to California, want to have that small government, limited government reach? Or do you think they're taking some of the values here and maybe that's part of the evolving change here?
I think there's some of both. So there are people who are definitely moving over the hill because it's easier to open a business and to create more jobs. Our taxes are lower. So it's easier to have a business and succeed here. But there are some that kind of bring what their expectations were for, or what they had somewhere else, and those become their expectations here. And we're just a smaller state with less government.
So do you think that's going to put any pressure? You know, we look at the issues that come up every legislative session. Mm-hmm. Education, you know, is always a big issue. Do you think that's something that we're going to be talking about, more money for education this next session?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll always be talking about more money for education and how we can improve education, and there's ways to do that. I think that some of the categorical funding that came through in the 2015 session has been successful. So when you look at the Read by Three type programs, and when you look at English language learners and how their numbers are actually improving because some of the targeted funding that has accountability around it, I think we'll continue to look at those types of programs. And I think everyone's willing to spend more on education, but you have to have the accountability. You want the results, and you want to improve what we have here in the state.
And the results are hard. I mean, when you look at the numbers for Nevada, I mean, you know, there was just something released last month on best states for business, and they ranked it in 9 different categories. And Nevada's number 50 in education. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, having that accountability and some of those reforms are maybe more important than the money?
Right. I think the modernization of the formula was important and some of the categorical funds. But if you look at the state and you break it out into the different school districts, we have some school districts that actually do really pretty well. And so we have challenges, and there are best practices. It's not as if we have to reinvent things. We have to look at where we are successful, where other states are successful, and look at those types of reforms, continue the ones that we have that have proved successful, and invest in those places.
Now, one of the things that you were a driver in was the Safe Voice Act. Was that SB 212?
SB 212.
SB 212 from last legislative session. Mm-hmm. Tell our viewers about that.
It's a tremendous bill. So some of the work was started by Senator Debbie Smith in 2015, and I followed up with a bill that really got the program moving. And so what it does is it allows students to anonymously text or to call a number, a hotline number, if they think there's a student who's going to harm themselves or others. And right now it's been launched in Clark County. It's going to be throughout the state, probably by the beginning of the school year, maybe a little bit into the school year. But there's been a huge volume of calls. And during the last interim finance committee, we had testimony from a supervisor from the groups that take in the calls, and basically said there were, I think, 56 cases where she thought that we were saving lives, that being able to respond to a student who was in distress, who thought another student was in distress, and reach out to those students and help them made a difference. And so I'm really excited that not only did we put this platform together through SB 212, but that it's implemented and it's working.
Well, the fact that there's a response is kind of a sea change from some of the things we've seen in, you know, other places. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen in Broward County with 45 phone calls on
tragic.
One kid.
Right.
So, but there was a little bit of a controversy, though, at that IFC meeting. Mm-hmm. And you had a bill that passed unanimously that ended up, you know, kind of at partisan odds.
Yeah, so what happened is that I think everybody was in agreement that this is a great system to have, but then the calls that came in, the volume was much higher than expected, so they needed more folks at dispatch. So the people receiving the calls.
How many calls for, and this is just one county?
You know, like in the first couple of months, I think they had 1,700 calls. And there were so many that basically they needed more dispatch folks. And so there was a disagreement. The agency that's running the Safe Voice program wanted 8 dispatchers, and there was some negotiations, and Republicans really believed that we needed to have them because it was working. We were able to respond to the students. We were able to categorize what was happening, make sure that they got the help. There's actually teams in every school, teams of 3 individuals at every single school in the counties where it's been rolled out to be able to respond and act appropriately so that we can take care of things. So anyway, they needed more folks for dispatch. There was a vote that went down where they didn't get all. It was a partisan vote. Republicans, who happened to be in the minority during this committee, voted to fully fund dispatchers, whereas the Democrats decided that they didn't want to fully fund them. They wanted them to come back at the next meeting. And in the end, the funding came through the governor's office. The governor did an emergency act and allowed for full funding. But you're right. It was really odd that it came down partisan lines because it wasn't a partisan bill, and it really was making sure that not only could we accept these calls, that we could act on the calls, that we had enough dispatchers to be able to act.
All right, Senator, we are going to be right back with Senator Heidi Ganser here on Nevada Newsmakers.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are talking to Senator Heidi Ganser about education, another big issue that we're going to be hearing a lot about, maybe $60 million about this next cycle, besides the governor's race, which is going to have a lot of money, Senate race is going to have a lot of money, is kind of a number of billionaires battling it out over energy. Question 3, that was something that you supported last time, which says we shouldn't have a monopoly utility. We can have choices in who we want to choose to provide our energy. Is that something that you still support?
Yeah, so, you know, when I look at the energy markets, and I used to work for power companies, basically I did energy planning, they're really more regional in nature. And in Nevada, we've always looked at the state borders. And so it seems like with the way that energy is transmitted and the different contracts that are available out there, that we probably should have greater choice, that there should be more flexibility as far as the customer themselves being able to pick what they want to have. And there's all kinds of uncertainty around it, so I think it's going to go to the voters. The voters are going to need to decide if they want that or not. I think the last time it was on the ballot, it passed by over 70%. And then there's a lot of regulations that are going to have to follow. So if it is in place,
well,
there's a lot of
regulation and statutes, right?
Right.
So you currently sit on the Commerce and Labor Committee in the Senate, which has jurisdiction over energy. So if this passes, and I mean, full disclosure, I'm in favor of this. Something I hope passes. But do you think the legislature is going to be able to put the necessary laws in place, or do you think that's going to be the next battle if we see passage of question three, that we're now going to have a battle in exactly what that energy market is going to look like?
Well, I think it's going to be challenging. I think there's a pretty short timeline to be able to do that. We're not the first state.
2023.
Right. We're not the first state. So we can look at best practices and what's been successful in other states. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's really up to the voters to decide what they want this marketplace to look like and if they want those choices. So that'll be the first step, and then we can follow with the statute and regulations. There's also a push to increase the renewable portfolio standard.
It's the Tom Steyer initiative.
Right. Now, that one's a pretty big leap, so that's going to be something that's on the ballot as well. But, you know, the legislature over the years, even back in 2004, we were talking about the renewable portfolio standard, and this state's done a really nice job of trying to build and to make sure that there's more renewable energy within the portfolio.
Well, and it's something right now that we are able to take advantage of some of the renewable projects that are built in California. I mean, they have too much renewables built there in terms of solar, but that's not something we necessarily see in rates. I mean, that's something that you have the power company being able to recoup that doesn't necessarily get passed on to the consumers. So since we are regional in nature, we can take that power from cheap power from renewables in California, or, you know, even the hydroelectric up in Oregon and Idaho and Utah.
Yeah, so I think all that does actually get reflected in your rates. So I think the PUC has to look at the cost of energy right now to NV Energy, and then those have to be passed through. But what we do have, I think there's some regulations over them. But I do know we have a wealth of geothermal energy, which is base load, so it's there 24/7, unlike solar and wind. So it's great to have multiple types of sources to make sure that at the end of the day, you want to be able to flip your light switch and make sure that there's power,
sure.
Right? So it's about the regulation and making sure that we have a market that supports the needs of the communities.
Hey, Senator, thank you so much for coming on. Always great to have you on. Always great to have a conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to be right back with our Power Pundit panel on Nevada Newsmakers.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers with our Power Pundit panel. Today we have Dayla Gibson, who is the Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood Marmonte, and Trey Abney, who is a Managing Partner at the Abney Taukin Group. Welcome. Great to have you guys on.
Thank you.
So this is the first show that we're taping after President Trump made the announcement that Brett Kavanaugh was going to be his pick for Associate Justice to replace Anthony Kennedy, who has really kind of been seen as a swing vote on the court. Although if you look over the last couple of decades, he's, you know, been more on the conservative side than, you know, being a true swing, you know, with a couple exceptions. Dayla, I mean, I you know, from everything I see, your group's fairly concerned, I don't think just about Kavanaugh, but about anybody that President Trump would appoint.
Well, definitely. There's been a pledge that anyone that's appointed would do their best to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is a big concern for us and our patients and our community.
So, I mean, for Nevada, though, it really wouldn't make a difference because don't we have, you know, really in a much more direct way than Roe v. Wade, we do have the ability to procure an abortion in the state of Nevada enshrined in our Constitution.
Right. We have protection enshrined, not quite in our Constitution, but it would take the same efforts to overturn it.
It'd take a vote of the people.
Yes. And it's very protected. However, an overturn of Roe v. Wade on the national level could open the door for people to outlaw abortion care altogether.
In other states? Not
nationally.
Not in
if they make it illegal nationally, then we have to follow by that.
So, Trey, do you think we're going to hear, you know, anything else, or do you think the argument is going to be focused on Roe v. Wade? Or?
Well, it's Roe v. Wade, it's ACA, it's the right of working people, you know, all the stuff that doesn't appear in the Constitution anywhere. any judge that Trump would have appointed would have gotten this. Any Republican president who appoints a judge, we always hear this, it's going to be the end of the world, no more abortions, no more gay marriages, everybody's going to die. And we still live and go on and on. This one's a bigger deal.
Well, everybody's going to die. That's everything now.
This one's a bigger deal because of who this justice is replacing. You know, the last one was Scalia, and that was a kind of a conservative for conservative. This one's, you know, putting in a conservative for this swing vote, now making Roberts probably the swing vote. So you're going to hear a lot of gnashing of teeth. I think Kavanaugh's going to get confirmed. I think you're going to have all Republicans support him, and you're going to have Democrats like Donnelly in Indiana, like Manchin in West Virginia, and maybe Claire McCaskill, Missouri, and others support Heidkamp in North Dakota, support this nominee because they're in tough seats and tough races in states that Trump won. So I think you'll hear a lot of gnashing of teeth over the next 2-4 months, and then he'll get confirmed.
Daly, what do you think? Do you think you're going to have some Democrats potentially splinter off?
Not if we can help it, of course. We definitely have allies on all sides of this issue. Even the effort for when we got it protected in Nevada was a bipartisan effort led by Republican women initially and then joined with all sides because Nevada's a libertarian state. Mm-hmm. And
we were.
Well, I still feel we're still pretty libertarian. And so our efforts, of course, are going to try to make sure that our senators know how our constituents feel or how their constituents feel and how our communities feel. And I know across the country, people are going to work to try to at least, have their voice heard about not supporting the candidate, regardless of where they're in a tough area or not.
So you know, when you're looking at where you're going to focus, I mean, Trey mentioned, you know, Democratic Senators Donnelly, Heidkamp, Manchin. You're looking at who on the Republican side?
For us, our work is in state, so we're looking at Senator Heller, but we also need to talk to Senator Cortez Masto because we also have to make sure that she understands where our communities fall and, you know, expectations.
You don't have a real question there, though, on that, right? Or, I mean, both of them are pretty clear.
I'm going to make a bold newsmaker's prediction that Heller will vote for Kavanaugh and Cortez Masto will vote against it. So
I take nothing for granted.
Okay,
that's fair.
But you're looking at the potential Republicans to swing, I mean, the two names that we hear are Lisa Murkowski,
right.
Murkowski out of Alaska,
right.
And Susan Collins.
Sure, absolutely. And both of them have sided with, honestly, their constituents and supported Planned Parenthood in the past. And we're always hopeful that that's going to happen now. I mean, I know that I'm talking to my relatives who live in Alaska because my mom's from Alaska, and you know the efforts that they're working on to try and make sure that the confirmation doesn't go through.
So, I mean, what do you see, Trey? What do you think the chances are? I mean, this is, you know, very, very tight. You know, you mentioned some Democrats, Doug Jones from Alabama. You know, possibly another one. Do you think this is more on the side of, you know, Mitch McConnell, or do you think that Schumer may have, you know, kind of an inside track because you do have an alien Senator McCain out of Arizona?
Sure.
You know, this is something where Mike Pence is probably going to have to show up and break
that tie. He's going to be off to the side for sure to wait to see how the vote. But again, I mentioned those Democrats in those states that they're running in can't can't put Chuck Schumer in front of them and say, we're going to do what Chuck wants to do. They're going to have to do what their states want to do, and they're more conservative states that they're running in. So I think, barring something weird coming out, which is always possible in politics, I think this nominee gets confirmed.
Dale, what do you think?
It's not over till it's over.
That's correct.
Don't disagree. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would be lovely if people voted the way that their constituents wanted, because then...
Hell, me too. We wouldn't have had a commerce tax in 2015, but that doesn't always happen.
I had to fill out that paperwork last night. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it would. I think that it would be a different outcome, and that would not be the nomination. So.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for a very spirited conversation. We're going to be back on Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next show, we're going to be talking about the resettlement of refugees in Northern Nevada with Dr. Karina Black. Thank you for watching and listening.